glad to be part of your Saturday morning as it is the Racing Rundown. Jackson and Thomas Gomez, the returning.
I'm back.
Thomas Gomez from Kansas. How you feeling?
I'm all right. I have a little bit of a head cold, but I'm good.
It's that time of the year, man.
Yeah.
Did you get that while you were in Kansas?
Nope. It hit me the day after we got back. So I got back to town on Monday. It hit me Tuesday morning.
That's the worst.
Yep. It's just, I think it's amazing how the human body kind of does these things to you. Because, like, I graduated high school graduation party the day after, head cold. I graduate college with my associates, a week later, appendix. You know, it's like your body waits till you get through these things and then it hits you with something.
I think you just have bad luck.
Sure. Yeah. Or good luck, depending on how you look at it.
So you're dealing with that. You're kind of coming through right now, recording this thing on a Thursday night as part of the podcast, which you can find on Sports Fan Rockford, the app, as well as sportsfanrockford.com. I usually have those things uploaded, I don't know, Thursdays, Fridays, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Pay attention and it'll drop. And we do air it, of course, Saturday mornings at 9. So if you're listening to us there, we do appreciate that. Plenty of local activity still going on. By plenty, I mean it's a dwindling amount, but we're going to touch on those a little bit later, plus tell you about all the things that are happening this weekend. But Thomas, I want to start by talking about your Kansas trip, man. You sent a couple of pictures. You showed, like, we were kind of talking just a little bit on Saturday when you arrived. How was it?
It was a lot of fun. Nothing too crazy happened. You said before I left, you know, anything crazy or out there, send me a picture, let me know. And I'm looking for something the entire weekend. Like, there's got to be something crazy going on. Not one thing. Nothing.
Well, we saw DeKalb had a presence at the Speedway.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually. You know, walking up to the, you know, go to your shopping and everything, and you see DeKalb there, and it's like, hey, I was born there.
DeKalb Genetics has some sort of presence over at Kansas on the Speedway. So yep. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they had an advertisement standing outside, right?
Yep, they had an entire setup. They had cornhole, you know, how ironic. And then they sponsored Clint Bowyer's car. So...
That's right. They did. Yep. I remember seeing that. And they did that last year, too.
Yes. Yep.
That's cool. And Clint Bowyer back at his home track, of course. So no real stories. Anything different happen outside of crazy? I mean, was there anything that happened that you look back on and you're just like, well, that's kind of different?
Kansas had a wild finish this year for the playoff race. I can't really think of any playoff race I've seen at Kansas or a race in general that has had this wild of a finish where you have multiple overtime attempts. I mean, a few years ago, back in May at the night race, was it Danica Patrick that got into Eric Almirola and it went up in flames and he had to be airlifted? That was something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
But besides that, we haven't seen anything really that interesting, or not that interesting, something that big at Kansas.
Well, the end of the race was wild. And you saw the Xfinity race, you saw the Cup race as well. Of course, if we're going in chronological order here, the Xfinity race did have some drama.
A little bit, yeah.
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. I love it when things happen right in front of me.
So what happened?
The 20 of Christopher Bell, someone got into him and he went spinning through the infield, essentially.
And after the race, him and Cole Custer, well, not Christopher Bell, but Tyler Reddick and Cole Custer had an issue. So you got to see a little bit of a pit crew versus pit crew kind of action.
Yep.
A lot like a baseball fight to me when the pit crews get involved. It's just a bunch of people that are kind of like, hey, man, you suck, man. You too. And they just they get together and then they eventually get separated. And then there's nothing except for bad blood. You know?
Yeah.
Throw a punch.
Yep.
Let me see something. I'm just kidding. Don't throw a punch.
But, well, I love how the pit crews kind of go in there to pull their, you know, their team member off of each other. And then they just start throwing punches at the same time. Like, that just comes into this big commotion.
They're going to punch while trying to keep the peace. Yeah,
they're going in to help, but it doesn't turn out that way.
It doesn't make sense.
Nope, not at all.
The playoffs are heating up for the Xfinity Series. We talk a lot about the Cup Series here. That's what more people watch. And so that's kind of what we talk about here on the Racing Rundown. So, Thomas, you mentioned the ending of that race, the double overtime. I don't remember as well at Kansas or... Really, any kind of race that has an elimination attached to it here recently, I'm sure it's happened. There are a lot of green-white checkers that have happened here in the last year or so since the stage racing has happened. But this one was a little bit different, and at first glance, I sort of thought there was something that was up with this race at the very end.
Okay.
Your winner, of course, Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin, yep.
Your second winner.
Chase Elliott.
Who ended up knocking out Brad Keselowski. Now, in real time, the drama that happened to me when I was sitting there watching at home, that it didn't happen to me, but the drama that existed on the television screen, they showed the cut line and it was the two Penske boys just trying to stay ahead of the number 9 who was still in the black. And he was maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 down. it looked like Logano was on his way out, and then Bubba Wallace's tire just randomly fell off. Were you sitting over in that area?
I was not. That was in turn two, and we're sitting right coming out of turn four.
Gotcha.
But that was interesting to see his tire just fall off the car. Like, at some point, didn't hit anything, it just kind of came off.
Did the tire make its way around the track and over to you? Because it just kept on rolling.
It did just keep on rolling. Not quite that far, but it kept rolling.
So there were about eight laps left to go when that happened. Keselowski had to pit. His car was just falling. It was not fast, so he really needed a pit, and he did. He restarted at plus one over Chase. Logano was plus 10. Halfway through the lap, this green-white checkered that they were doing, the first overtime that they did, Keselowski moved up to four, plus four, and Logano fell to plus three, so it was getting a lot tighter. Then Brad went four wide because people were kind of going around him. He was the one that started the accident, but in real time, I didn't see that. And I just figured because they threw that caution flag, like immediately that was it. Like the wall, like I've never seen a quicker yellow flag thrown in my entire life.
And I have to tell you, sitting there in the stands, that was so confusing to fans. Cause we saw the flag person, they had the white flag in the air. And the next thing you know, we're like, the yellow lights are on. Is it caution? Did Denny make it to the line? What happened here? And so we're sitting there waiting for the officials to rewatch the video and be like, did he make it to the line? And Denny was just a foot short of hitting that start finish line when the caution came out. Just barely there. And you know, as soon as that, if he crosses that line, it's official no matter what happens.
Right.
So.
Terrible timing for Brad, but it looked like he was going to lose it anyway. In hindsight, watching the replay. In real time, I'm thinking, oh, what is this? Because the 9 car is the most popular driver.
Yeah.
A lot of people love the 9. I like Chase Elliott. I don't have anything against him. You know, I don't really have a rooting interest in this scenario, but some things I feel like sometimes that a superstar in basketball is going to get calls when maybe it wasn't that big of a foul. They'll start to get more advantages, just unwritten advantages, than players who are not very good. This happens in basketball constantly. It happens in baseball with the strike zone. If it's close and the pitcher's really good and has good control, he'll probably get the benefit of the doubt. Now in NASCAR, if you've got the most popular driver, I feel like in a way he might be protected a little bit because, let's be honest, it's an entertainment business. It's not just a sport. Ratings. People might not want to watch if Chase Elliott's not involved in this thing. So when I saw that car hit the wall, it was yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Did you ever have a stopwatch when you were a kid and you were able just to kind of play with that? Like, I was maybe 6 when I got a stopwatch.
All the time in science class, I had that thing.
You tried to see how quick you could click it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I don't know. I did that when I was in. That was quicker than that. Quicker than I possibly could. The car hit the wall. Boom. Yellow flag. Oh, they're protecting Chase. I thought for the longest time they were protecting Chase Elliott there. And I was a little disappointed in NASCAR for doing it because I felt like the 2 was doing everything he possibly could to hang on. The 22 was doing everything he possibly could to hang on. We're talking about a foot difference before Denny crossed that line.
Yeah, they threw that caution, and Denny going 180 miles an hour to have a foot difference or a foot be the deciding factor on that. That's just pure luck. That's all it is.
To your point, racing has really turned into a game of inches here in the last week or two with Talladega.
Oh, yeah.
Rewatching it. Look, Brad caused that wreck. Brad was trying to hang on for dear life. He was going to try to attach himself to a car for a car to just like reach out the window and grab his hand so he could go across that line. You know, like he was losing it. Hamlin pulled away, as did Logano. Keselowski just was not the same. They restarted in the double overtime. That was another interesting one, another big wreck at the finale there.
Oh, yeah.
And Chase Elliott ended up moving on, won by a couple of points. And Joey Logano still hung on, and I really thought that he was the one that was screwed maybe 20 minutes prior. Just amazing how that all happened.
Yeah, and you just said Chase Elliott made it through just by a couple points. I think it was, well, in the stands they said one, but I don't know how the official scoring came out.
It might have been one.
But after the checkered flag flew, you know, I have my headset on that's pretty almost soundproof, so you can't really hear what's going on around you.
Yeah.
I take off one ear, and I'm just like, I want to listen, because I'm like, what's going on? It was so quiet in the stands after Denny had won. I'm like, it was like eerie. It was just one of those weird feelings. I'm like, what's going on?
Really?
Everyone in the stands was waiting to hear about the playoffs. Who made it? Who didn't?
Oh.
And as soon as they said Chase Elliott made it by one point, everyone started cheering. Everyone. It was like this huge eruption. Doesn't matter. I was cheering. I mean, you saw people that don't necessarily root for Chase Elliott cheering in the stands just because they want to see him do well.
Wow. So that's a different experience than something that you probably haven't dealt with in the past, going to a race where it's just eerily quiet like that.
Yeah, it was really weird.
There would have been some mutiny if Chase didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been bad for Team Hendrick, too, because the 24 went home, the 88 went home, the 48 wasn't in it for the first time in 16 years.
Yeah.
And the 9 just barely gets in on a thread, so Team Hendrick still hangs on to fight another day in the round of 8 here. Overall, Thomas, was this one of the better races that you've ever seen?
I think it was one of the best races I've seen at Kansas, for sure.
Denny Hamlin wins, of course. I've been sitting on this for a little while. Your mom and I had a conversation when we both went to Rockford Speedway for a bit, and she's trying to figure out, because you and I are fans,
right?
First and foremost, we're not experts. I could change my oil. I could put some air in the tire. I can't tell you how to, you know, adjust a car to make it run in Bristol faster while still maintaining handling. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly.
Denny Hamlin to me, just as a fan, and I'm not trying to, like, if you like Denny Hamlin, I'm okay with that. Your mom was wondering why I didn't really like him, and so she was trying to, you know, get me to be a fan of Denny Hamlin, which I appreciate. I really do.
She came with you with stats and everything.
She brought the book, man.
She did.
It was awesome. And because of her joy, and just, you know, it's like you, if I wasn't a Larson fan, if Larson won, the joy that I get seeing other people happy, as long as it's not like, you know, the worst driver ever imagined. Like, Denny Hamlin is just a dude that somewhat annoys me, because I feel like there are two Denny Hamlins in this world.
Okay.
And I'll start out by saying that he's having a top two season in his career. Probably like the best or the second best season in his career right now.
Easily.
Currently. 2010, he had more wins. He had 8 wins that year. That's a hell of a year. He finished second overall to Jimmy Johnson, who was in the process of winning his 5th championship. 2013, Denny had 5 wins, a year that he missed 4 races. 2019, right now, he's sitting at 5 wins. He's got 17 top fives, which is the most in his career. 17 top fives. The best average finish of his career, which is a top 10 average, it's a 9.3. He's got 1 DNF. One of the things that makes him great over time is the consistency that Denny Hamlin has. You don't see him wreck very often, and when he wrecks, he usually gets back out onto the track.
And moves up to the front very quickly.
Dude, he could be a lap down, he'll come back.
Oh, easily.
He could be 2 laps down. This has happened this year a bunch of times.
Yep.
92% of the time in his career, from the time that he started in NASCAR, he's racing when the checkered flag waves.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
That's great odds. Great odds.
He's never won a championship. He's often in the picture. 36 wins in Cup, 55 overall, over 50% top 10 in his career. If Denny Hamlin decided tomorrow that he's finished racing, Denny Hamlin is a Hall of Famer to me. You?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Here's my problem with Denny Hamlin.
Okay.
All that said.
All that said, here we go.
Let's start at the very, very beginning.
All right.
I'm going to take you down a trip down memory lane just briefly here.
Okay.
When they were in Nationwide, Denny Hamlin was a Cup driver, and he was, you know, just racing in the Nationwide Xfinity Series now, as it's become known as. Keselowski was a full-time Nationwide driver. There was a feud that those guys had that lasted for well over a year. And it started because Denny was mad that Brad was racing him too hard.
Mm-hmm.
The full-timer was racing Denny Hamlin a little bit too hard because he was not giving the position to Denny Hamlin for multiple laps when Denny just didn't have enough to clear him. He had about 2 inches to go, and he just couldn't clear Keselowski. And so Keselowski was trying to race him door to door around the turns, the racing we like to see. So then those two, they got into it. Denny pretended to clean off his tires on a caution lap, ran right into Brad's car. That's on YouTube. It's right now, the Denny versus Brad feud is what I had to go back to go and watch. But like, Denny did one of those things where they're kind of going up and down the track, trying to clear off their tires, just smack Brad right upside his door. Crazy. Okay. He's racing you too hard. You're going to teach the guy who's a full-time driver in that series a lesson? Here, kid, let me just smack your door so that you let me go next time. No, that's intimidation. After the race, he didn't even acknowledge doing that. And he's just basically blaming Brad, and their feud was kind of underway after that. We fast forward. Those guys went at it back and forth. They wrecked each other's cars for the better part of a year or two. There was the honest estimation of 10,000 races that Denny Hamlin has had in his life. You've heard about this.
I think so.
Well, Denny's a vet. He's a guy who's been doing this thing a long time. Matter of fact, he's probably raced about 10,000 races in his life.
Oh, easily. He's been doing this since he was a kid.
Oh, sure. Sure, Thomas. He's got 502 total races right now in all three series. You can count ARCA. I'll throw it in there. 502.
Okay.
As a professional. He started at the age of 23. I'm counting exhibitions. I'm counting shootouts and clashes. We're at 737 races. I'm not saying that he didn't run over 9,000 heats and races on dirt tracks growing up before the age of 23, but it would have had to have been 402 per year from the day that he was born. So there's that. Before Daytona last year, he estimated that 75% of all the drivers were taking Adderall.
Oh, I remember this.
Way to out everybody in your entire sport.
That's I forgot like, that happened.
That's like Mike Trout. No, that's like James Harden, a basketball player, a star, an MVP, saying that, oh yeah, 75% of basketball players get high. Whoa.
That's quite the accusation.
Or Frank Thomas saying 75% of all baseball players do steroids. No, you don't do that. So he wasn't very, popular in the garage after that.
Not at all.
Bubba Wallace likes to make light of certain things. Ended up getting into a wreck that involved Denny Hamlin. And then he said, well, I guess he should have been on his Adderall. Mm-hmm. Denny was angry about that. Wait a second. That's not on you to get angry about. So that's another thing that Denny Hamlin did that I was just kind of like, all right, man, come on. Like you said it. And so he's just making fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't retaliate and say, don't try to teach that kid a lesson. Earlier this year, Matt DiBenedetto was hanging on for dear life at Bristol. That was one of the best races of the year. Hamlin passed him with about 12 laps to go. Won the race. What was the first thing he said when he got out of that car?
He hated to do that to Matt DiBenedetto.
Yeah, paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
The first line that he said, I am so sorry.
Uh-huh.
No, you're not. You won a race, dude.
Well, he hated to have taken that victory from him, but at the end of the day, he had to do what was best for his team.
That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
He said that he had to race. And as a direct quote on the track when they were interviewing him there, you know how they do with Fox Sports doing it. I have to give 110% for FedEx. Let's go back to last Sunday at the race that you were at there, Thomas.
Okay.
A lapped Jimmy Johnson got ahead of him.
I knew you were going here.
On the stage. Denny Hamlin just let him go right by.
Slowed down
so that Jimmy Johnson could get his lap back, right?
Fun fact about that. I'm sitting there in the grandstands with my headset. And it's MRN, so when they go to break, their microphones are still hot. They're still on, so everybody there can still hear them. So they're like, what's wrong with Denny Hamlin? Is he out of gas? What's going on? He's slowed down. Something has to be wrong with that car. What's going on?
That's crazy.
Nothing was wrong. Nothing at all.
They used to do this before stage racing, I believe, before the wave arounds really started coming into. You would race to the yellow. Or you would race to the line on a yellow flag. Like you would finish the lap out. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of drivers, hey, go ahead, go by me. It's a gentleman's thing to do. And so Denny was trying to do that. We're in the era of waiver rounds right now. Jimmy Johnson would have been the lucky dog. He's getting his lap regardless. Denny Hamlin then was asked about this after the race.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I need as many allies as I can get, pun maybe intended. So I put a coin in the deposit box. First of all, Thomas, if I do you a favor, I'm not going to go and tell the whole entire world that I did you a favor.
Right.
If I'm doing you a favor out of strategy to try to get something out of you in the future, right? One, that's manipulative. And two, that's going to make the person that got the favor done to them be like, okay, jerk. Like, thanks for doing that.
Yep.
Why would you say that?
And he said he was just trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah, he's trying to be a nice guy so that if it comes to it down the road and he needs a lap or he needs to pass a car, Jimmy Johnson will just let him go. He's putting a coin in the deposit box. Okay. Thanks for letting everybody know.
Johnson didn't care for that.
His response was great. Did you hear it?
I did. Go ahead.
He pretty much said if I was a threat to win, he wouldn't have done that.
Yep.
It's true.
It is very true.
These are some of the things that are just, they drive me nuts about Denny Hamlin. Dude, want to be a nice guy, but there's a reason behind it, right? Somebody's racing you hard. You don't really like it, so you wreck them, but you're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be as honest to the media as possible about people that are in your garage, but when someone confronts you about it, you didn't say that. You shut up, man. You shut up. I didn't say that. Come on. There's two different Denny Hamlins, and that's why I'm you know, over time, as a fan, that's where I'm at with them. But that said, all of that said, ultimately, we talk about this often too. These problems that I have with Denny Hamlin are a great thing. Sound like a therapist right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I love Denny Hamlin in this sport because it gives me somebody to root against. I'm glad that he's here. Hate that he wins. Love that he's here.
So my Kyle Busch is your Denny Hamlin?
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that the equivalent then?
I would say drivers that rub me the wrong way, even though there's no hate for them. Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick. There's a little arrogance with Kevin Harvick that has always sort of rubbed me, a fan, the wrong way. That said, if you rewind the tape and go back to our last few podcasts, I'm picking him in the pick three about every week. I think they're both extremely talented, both first ballot Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as important in NASCAR to have somebody that you can root against as it is to have somebody to root for. You can't have a favorite, and you can't really, truly have a favorite
if there isn't a bad guy on the track.
Exactly. That's the entertainment aspect. I get that. And so we're here doing this right now as fans. This is our perspective. If Denny Hamlin wins, I am happy because your mom is a fan. I am unhappy because my guy did not win. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. But don't try to give me the story, Denny, after the race is over, that you're trying to put a coin in the deposit box for the future so that Jimmy Johnson can help you in a time of need. Dude, he's going to help Chase Elliott. That's it. All right?
Yep.
Don't admit that to me. Stop oversharing. I hate that.
Yeah. And see, I can't have any hatred towards Denny Hamlin because he's like long-lost cousin Denny to me and my family. So...
Okay. If it comes out where you guys are actually related...
Okay. We'll figure this out someday.
I'm a fan.
Okay.
Because, you know, I know... And I... We could be honest here, right?
Uh-huh.
Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Your mom's maiden name?
My mom's maiden name is Hamlin, and her family is from Florida. And even though Denny Hamlin's family, if you Google him, Wikipedia, it's going to say Chesterfield, Virginia, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But his grandfather and his grandfather's side of the family is from Tampa, Florida, right where my mom's side of the family's from. And there was I guess, going back generations, there was a huge feud between grandfathers and, you know, great-grandfathers. They kind of split ways. So there's two different families, you know.
Got it.
There could be ties in the ancestry somewhere there. And his name, Dennis James, runs on our side of the family too. So there's coincidences. We just haven't found that missing link yet.
So we are 23andMe away from figuring this thing out. What's it called?
23andMe. We do Ancestry.
Okay.
But yeah, since he's a celebrity though, or a professional athlete, I guess, a lot of his stuff is kind of on lockdown. So you kind of have to go into stalker mode to find out a lot of these details.
So you're not going to go that far, but at the same time, there's still enough of a question, and that makes sense.
Right.
And you guys weren't racing fans forever. And once you became racing fans, you were already somewhat of a fan. She was already somewhat of a fan, mm-hmm. and then kind of connected these dots a little bit. Like,
exactly.
Oh, Hamlin, that's my maiden name. Do you say former? I don't know. That's my maiden name.
So
she draws the, that's how I got into baseball. Somebody mm-hmm. had my last name and I saw it in the newspaper.
That's exactly what happened with my mom.
Perfect. Well, we are an ancestry.com away from having that thing cleared up. But as a race car driver, I'm, you know, happy for her. I kind of wish that somebody else would win. But that said, one of the best races of the year that you were at, right?
Oh, easily, easily. And I love that it was an elimination race. Because I feel like there's just so much more on the line. It's not a difficult track. It's not the Roval.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just sitting there on the edge of your seat for a mile and a half. How often are we on the edge of our seat for a mile and a half race?
And we've got another race coming up where we're going to be on the edge of our seat for tomorrow. I wish it was a night race tonight, but we'll talk about Martinsville. We'll do our pick three. But there was also some big time news last Friday that we weren't able to get to before you went out of town and the podcast was put up. The ISM merger.
Yeah.
This is huge for NASCAR. And I want to talk about that with you up next. He's Thomas Gomez. My name's Jackson.
The Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.